Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. Can anyone hear me?
Peace. Welcome to Dare to Way. The Uplifting Us radio program, where we have sober conversations on the economic and political plight of Black people globally, and the Uplifting Us plan for economic and political cooperative economics globally. To reach Ulu by phone, please call 404-592-2780. Or you can visit our website, usliftingus.com. There's a Dare to Win group on the Ulu community website. Feel free to comment on our programs and to leave suggestions for upcoming programs. If you want to join the conversation on this program, the number to call is 929-477-2789. Tonight's question is sustainability. How does it fit into the Ulu model? And joining us tonight is Brother Shibaka. Peace, Brother Shibaka. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Can you hear me, sister?
I can hear you very well, please.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
I wasn't sure. I had some technical problems earlier, and I wasn't sure that I could be heard. But thank you very much, and I appreciate being on. And I'd like to say welcome the host, and the people who are attending. I'd like to greet them, and I hope we have a very interesting conversation that they themselves can get involved in.
Yes, that would be very good. I hope everything works out okay. We were having difficulties getting the program started, and I'm still not sure how this is going to go, but we will continue on. So my first question for you, Brother Shibaka, is what exactly is sustainability?
That's a very interesting question, and let me bring the listening audience and you to an article that I read a few weeks ago. In fact, it was a few weeks ago, but the article came out in BBC News Online in the African section. I believe the article was dated around November 11th, could have been somewhere around that time, 2020. So it was last year, the end of last year. The article featured a brief story about a Lebanese architect named Leila Maroui, who was living in Senegal at the time. And the article was describing the use of a technique which was meant at that time to build shelters on the moon, which I found interesting. All right, but Leila Maroui was going to use the technique to build a sustainable school in a small village in Senegal. And what it would consist of would just be building bricks from the local earth, clay, and a little cement to bind all the ingredients together. And that would construct and build a school, which was needed in that area. Now, I found that interesting that it was designed to build moon, and the thing that came to mind for me was that they were going to use the moon surface, all right, to collect dust and then bring it together and then be able to build little habitats for people who would want to go there and live. Well, I want to stay here, but I found the technique that they were thinking about very interesting. Now, apparently the coming together of the earth, the local earth material, clay and cement used to bind it was sufficiently right ingredients to provide a very comfortable dwelling, particularly during the hot, because, you know, it can get pretty hot in Senegal. You know, it's right there in the Sahel, the desert area, and what have you. All right, so, but that wasn't the important thing that I got out of that. The important thing that I got out of that, which I want to wrestle with us because you raised the question, was it says it was designed, and this was the key word, to build a sustainable school in a Senegalese village. Sustainable. All right, so I toyed with that word. All right, and the first thing that came to my mind, well, it was a village. All right, so it was not necessarily in an urban area. And so a village, self-sustaining, in my mind, was that whatever the village was engaged in to maintain the life of the people dwelling in that village, all right, and keep it dwelling for some period of time, all right, was significant for at least this architect to say that what she was introducing would sustain it, particularly by introducing this school. So I toyed with the word, and I noticed that that when we think about sustainability in particular, we have to think about it in a certain context, because we could argue, what do you mean, particularly when we're in a global domination of sort, what does it mean to sustain something when we might have very little control over that which we wish to sustain, which particularly if what we're trying to sustain is sustain life? So I think that I came up with something that might be feasible in terms of our conversation and how that might definitely fit into Ulu's Ulu model. So if we define sustainability within this socioeconomic framework, for instance, if we defined it as the practice of maintaining processes of production by periodically and systematically replacing resources used with resources of equal or greater value without degrading or endangering the natural environment until or unless an internal and or external force disrupts. Now, let me say that again. All right, if we defined it as the practice, all right, of maintaining processes of production by periodically and systematically replacing resources used with resources of equal or greater value without degrading or endangering the natural ecological system until interrupted by an internal or external force. Now, what I'm trying to say in that is that you have a process to sustain what it is that you're doing, and you continue to sustain, but you have to be very well aware of the internal dynamics involved in the processes to sustain you. All right, so you got to be aware of that. And then you got to be aware of where this environment, that this local environment, where it is, and then the dynamics of the external ecological system on that environment. Be able to extract resources from that, build what you need, plant what you need, all right, until at such time you can no longer do that either because an internal degradation or an external force, hurricane, any of the natural disasters that we have, as well as war. All right. Within that context, I think that we begin to see that, at least for me, when I look at that context, it says, well, evidently, we know that we got people that are coming together. They are involved in doing some stuff, and what they're doing is being able to do what it is to sustain themselves. They're living, and they are integrated into the environment. They just have to keep knowledge of the environment, and then when things get old and they have to renew, then they have to renew or replace what's old because it is no longer productive or it no longer has the productive capacity to produce what they want. And at the same time, be on alert for external dangers, including enemies. Now I'm fitting a whole bunch of stuff in there. But I'm fitting stuff in there to try to deal with the fact that we live in a global context, and that right now we live in a context in which the European maintain control of our socioeconomic life, all right? And then Brother Neely Fuller once says that the European, what he called white supremacy and racism, dominates the globe. And I think the realization of that came to me about a year ago when I theoretically in my mind said, yeah, the European dominate the globe. But then when the so-called plandemic, what I call mm-hmm. or pandemic, the corporate pandemic came up, it shows the instantaneous impact that this pandemic, which was WHO, that's the establishment, was able mm-hmm. to extend through the whole globe. I mean, right. everybody's doing it. I mean, mm-hmm. in Africa, a number of African countries are clamping down harder than what they're doing in the West, and they have the lowest caseload and lowest number of deaths, but they're still doing the things disrupting their economy, all right, because they're told to do so by international organizations, which are under the mm-hmm. control of Western Europe or Europe, period, and the United
yeah, for
States.
Sure.
Right, so that gave me a real clear example of the domination. So therefore, when we talk about, in my mind, we talk about sustaining stuff, I have to look at sustaining stuff. And that, and I think that Neely Fuller provided a very good context in order to be able to begin to look at it realistically, given this domination that we are experiencing outside of our community. So let me stop here for a moment, just in case you might have another question you want to ask me, or you know, somebody on the line might want to jump in on the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you were saying about using the what you have there and knowing when to replace it and knowing when you can't use what you have anymore, knowing when there's something else that's new and better that can do what you're trying to do, all of that seems to indicate being in place long term. It's like you've been there long enough to understand your environment and know what is there that you can use and what you can't use and all of these other things, which is, mm-hmm. I think, why when the European comes to town, things fall apart because they don't stay long enough to get to know something. They just start rearranging and moving people and doing all this other stuff, which disrupts and interrupts the flow of sustainability. And then we get mm-hmm. to where we are now in many places. And then they start hollering about sustainability, which is what the people had been doing all along, which is why they were able to stay where they were as long as they had been there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate what you're saying, that it as, like you say, as you unpacked it in your mind, it brought certain things to you and took you off, not off, because everything is related to everything else. So we
That's
would
true.
Come, you know, so we would, in understanding one thing, understand something else as well. So just think, when we think of the word sustainability, it's going to take us into other arenas. And I'm glad that you brought that up, the way you, how you unpeel that part of the onion.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I was going to.
No, I was saying, you know, as I said before, over the months, reading that story a few months ago. In fact, it was probably the beginning of this year that I read that. And it was then, you know, about 2 or 3 months old. But still it reflected mm-hmm. What these villagers were attempting to do are given. Now, I asked myself, I said, now, evidently the local governance structure had no interest, you know, in whether they build these bricks. And building a school at that time, apparently for the local, all right, seemed to, had not been of any interest to the mm-hmm. governing local governance structure, and definitely was of no interest to the national governance structure. So it seems mm-hmm. like that in order for them, all right, to proceed, all right, there was no external threat which jeopardized them being able to build a school and serve a particular need for their local community. All right, so I looked at that and this and it, I reflected on, you know, a conversation that I had on some brothers and sisters. Let me call them African thinkers for lack of a better word. When we were toying with the word of sustainability, self-sufficiency, sovereignty, and a whole bunch of other stuff, you know, we just have to be, you know, prisoners in the U.S. talking. Okay, we were just rapping, right? And so, and so, we concluded, you know, that you know, we could end up in a minefield, you know, just talking about sustainability, because I could always go, well, you talking about sustainability in the block? Are you talking about sustainability, you know, up the road? Are you talking about sustainability, you know, in town? Are you talking about sustainability of whatever it is you're doing within the state? So that opted, you know, for me to do some thinking and come up with that definition. But I'd like to give all honor and praise to Elder Neely Fuller, who forces us, in my opinion, all right, because of his book, the United Independent Compensatory Code concept, in which he basically outlines the global aspect of white supremacy, and which was later built upon, all right, by Dr. Frances Quest Welsing in her novel work on the confrontation between the races, particularly whites and non-whites, which she explained why. Neely Fuller explained what existed, and she explained why it existed. And I thought that was extremely helpful. I thought it was extremely helpful, and it was from that, because see, Neely Fuller posed a challenge to us, you know, us who consider ourselves conscious nationalists or whatever you want to call ourselves, because in Neely Fuller's mind, all right, the compensatory code would offer a code which were for individuals, because he said that the white supremacy was so well organized globally that any attempt of an organized resistance would immediately be crushed, if nothing more than you would buy off people, as we can see on the African continent right now, as we can see in our cities, you know, you know, where we have black mayors, all right, and this, that it can easily be bought off. So he says you can't trust organized structures, because the European believes he can infiltrate organized structures. So his book was to go to individuals, and by setting a code and practice by which we would define, you know, all we had to do was follow that code. All right, individuals fall in that code, all right, and then but also be willing to die. But you follow that code, and says eventually that would disrupt, all right, and degrade the system of white supremacy that we know of today. That was a challenge. He said that we cannot be organized. I think that we can be organized, and I think that ULU has a plan which can contradict what Elder Neely Fuller states, particularly because he says that the system of white supremacy is able to rule through 9 major areas of people activity. And then he lists the nine major areas. And I'll just briefly list them right here. There's not that many. It's not long. Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war and counter-war. He's saying it's through these areas, all right, in which the European white supremacists dominate, and they control people, all right. Now, what's implicit in what he says, and this is important. Listeners, this is important. At least it's important to me. I hope it's important to you, all right, is that he says these are the 9 areas in which the European tends to control. He called them white supremacists, all right. That implies that there are other areas of people activity that are minor, which may not necessarily be under the control of the European domination. Now you have to ask yourself, and I'll just use this as an example, just a simple example, because I had to contemplate what would be these minor areas that the Europeans are not going to worry about. Well, if we talk about a brother or sister who is well endowed and engaged in oral history, okay, that's an activity, all right. Mm. It's a cultural activity because oral history gives us the history of a group, you know, before members of that current contemporary members of that group exist, all right, existed,
right.
All right, were born,
right.
All right,
mm-hmm.
All right. So we got oral history all over Africa. We got oral history right here in the U.S., all right. So that's just a simple example. But right now, to the Europeans, it is not significant. It was significant to the Europeans when they brought us over and enslaved us as
mm-hmm.
Africans, because oral history, you know, was a danger, particularly to a community of people. We outnumbered the Europeans when we were brought here in the South. You know,
for
it was
sure,
just planters
sure.
and us. Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So therefore, if history and your culture provided the strength needed in order to resist, obviously you had to do something about that. So instruments that we use on the continent were forbidden here. And, of course, our language, which we use,
mm-hmm.
even though we had
mm-hmm.
various language, it was not used here. It was forbidden to be used here. Where
right.
you might find, you know, some dialects and some aspects of language when you go to the Caribbean, all right, because the Europeans saw that such practice was not necessarily beneficial, being a minority in those areas, all right, and so they allowed it, all right, given the socioeconomic condition was a little bit different than what the Europeans found in the South and the Southeast in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying all that to say is that as much as the Europeans are very conscious of what he needs to do in order to sustain control, we have to be very mindful of what is necessary for us to sustain living our lives
exactly.
and be able to pass on to the next generation, who in turn passes on to future generations to come. So these areas that Neely Fuller listed, the nine areas
mm-hmm.
of people activity, major areas of activity, gives rise to those areas of activity at least sought by Neely Fuller that might be even sought by the oppressor as not being significant and overlooked, which is areas that we can exploit. All right. And let me stop here again, because just in case you had
okay.
something you wanted to follow up on. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, I had not thought of that, you know, and I don't think many people have either. You know, he listed the major ones, but as you said, there are others that he didn't list that we still do control and that we can use to our advantage. Brother Shabaka, I'm going to take a musical break here right now, and when we come back, I would like for you to tell us how sustainability fits into the Ulu model, if you don't mind. Okay.
No problem.
Reactionary dreams, harmony must be earned. gotta learn treat the unconscious plan. Themes of those set by man. Flip the script, flip the script. Let me take you on this trip.
Peace. Welcome back to Dare to Win. Tonight, Brother Shabaka is talking about sustainability and how it fits into the ULU model. And I guess when we get everything right, like a phoenix, we will rise. So, Brother Shabaka, you were going to tell us how sustainability fits into the ULU economic model.
Yeah, thank you so much for that question, Sister Q. Just as Neely Fuller indicated in his works, that the system of white supremacy and racism is designed to do great, non-just, and completely unnecessary harm to those of us who are non-white in non-major areas. It lays a foundation and challenge. And it also gives us insight that, as I said with my sustainability definition earlier, that nothing is sustained entirely indefinitely. You know, all right. Mm-hmm. So even the system, all right, that the Europeans set up, it's good, all right, but it cannot sustain itself indefinitely. What ULU, I think, provides. Well, let me give you our vision, and then from there I'll show you how it nitpicks and ties at this fabric we call white supremacy. And I like, before jumping into that, I'd like to clarify, because I get in arguments sometimes, because decades ago, nationalists was toying with the idea of capitalism versus socialism. You know, one is an honor system and one is a human system, you know, social and all this other kind of stuff. Socialism, capitalism are instruments used by white supremacists to sustain their domination. All right.
Absolutely.
It is alien to African people. It is
for
alien
sure.
to African people. All right. All right. So therefore, I'm not trying to be more socialist than anybody. I'm definitely not more capitalist than anybody. All right. All right. It is alien. It is a tool used, and it's a very good tool. It's a tool that fools you. The capitalist, all right, no doubt in the mind, is exploitative. The control of the production process is control. And then how they fool you is have it then transfer over to the state apparatus, but it's the same people doing the same thing. All right.
Mm-hmm.
You still are not. All right. So I think that the foundation of the Ulu model is Ujamaa. All right.
Okay.
The foundation, if you look up, all right, cooperative economics.
Mm-hmm.
But the foundation of Ujamaa is out of the word Ijamaa, which is family, family-centered. It's a Kiswahili word, all right? And so, therefore, the cooperatives, when you go to a village or you go anywhere, the basic unit in that anywhere you go is the family. It's not the individual. And this is where I think that we have some latitude with Neely Fuller, because Neely Fuller looked at the individual, but very few things that individuals are do by themselves without engaging in groups to do something. In other words, by the mere fact of coming and living in a city or living in the village, it's because to contribute with skills I have, others contribute with skills they have to sustaining the village, which then sustains its basic unit, which is the family structure. All right. So Ujamaa looks at that. All right. Ulu looked at that and saw how this could be a very powerful tool. But let me just briefly mention the vision. Us Living Us aim to be the premier and preferred global economic cooperative community for people of African ancestry. All right. Economic cooperative community, all right, a community of folks. The fundamental unit of that, any community, is the family, all right, for African people, all right, because we know from the invasion of the European, from the invasion of the Arabs, from the invasion of the Persians, I mean, we for thousands of years we've been invaded. You know, people just love us, all right, and we still survive in spite of the invasion. All right, our foundation is the family structure. In order to materialize that vision, our mission says, is to build and sustain, let me say this again, to build and sustain a legacy of global cooperative business institutions for the economic sovereignty of people of African descent. All right, so therefore, to sustain, what is necessary to sustain? Well, we have to look at what it is that we want to bring to our community. We have core values. Now, we have a lot of organization within the African community here in America. And I'm not pushing any organization, but I have to give an acknowledgement and respect, because I was once a member, but I am no longer a member, of the Nation of Islam. Now, if you look at the Nation of Islam, you know, is well respected. Although 90% of our people in this country are tend to practice Christianity. Okay, the Nation of Islam practice Islam. Okay, but they are well respected. Why are they well respected? Okay, they're well disciplined. Okay, they have reverence to women. You know, most of the time, all right. They respect the mothers, they respect the sisters, all right. They respect their daughters, okay. And you see that they protect their mothers, they protect their daughters, they protect their sisters, all right. And they're very courteous, and they study, and they're studious, all right. So to me, the foundation that is needed, and they have survived for decades, all right. Now. On their own, okay? Now, we know, and I won't name certain other African organizations, they survived from a lot of money coming in from people who were responsible for oppressing them in the begin with. All right, so, but the nation, all right, has its own method by which it and it educates his children. So therefore, mm-hmm. we have to look at what we see within inside of our communities that's been positive and successful, regardless of the religious practice that they adhere to. But what they mm-hmm. see is the foundation, the core values, allow them to sustain. And we have core values too: character development. All right, the development of the character. All right. Well, we have a school that we're setting up, Chao Kiku, a university that we're setting up to begin to inform, and to begin to inform the same way that we had storytellers, you know, inform people of things that happened, you know, before they were born. All right, so mm-hmm. we have that. In addition to that, we have community empowerment. How do we do that? Wealth generation, passing on. How do we do that? All right. Well, we found out that the cooperative model, because the cooperative model has at basis foundation the family. All right. Mm-hmm. It has at its foundation the family. All right. Consequently, so when we talk about doing things to sustain ourselves, we talk about the very unit. The family is not going away, but we have to empower the family to be able to pass on to its offspring. All right, that's produced, which are members, which are young members of that community, and then we have to begin to branch out. Now, notice that I'm not talking about you had not heard me say anything about going down to City Hall. You haven't heard me talking about the mayor. You haven't heard me say anything about the governor. All right,
exactly.
Why not? Mm-hmm. Because see, go back to Neely Fuller. Neely Fuller says those organizations are already infiltrated, you know. But when you
right.
come out the womb, the trust that you have is what you are encroached with in that family setting. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so you don't
mm-hmm.
need the mayor, you don't
exactly.
need the city council, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need the governor. All right, all you need is the family unit and its ability to begin to engage, communicate with other members of the community. And that's the core values that we see emanating as essential in building ULU. Now,
mm-hmm.
let me get a little deeper into the ULU. Keep in mind now that from what we talked about earlier, if I'm not necessarily that visible, I may not necessarily be viewed to investigate and maybe disrupt. Right.
Exactly.
So the key,
mm-hmm.
all right, so the key to us is that we take on characters and do things from a unit family setting, community seven, that empowers, all right, so that when we empower the unit and the family, and then the families are empowered, what that does is that if there are any attempts at repercussions upon us, all right, we have do our family interaction and sustaining a certain economy among the families that participate, all right, we might have the political muscle to begin to offset any kind of interference. All right. That's because
mm-hmm.
we are knowledgeable of the community and the environment in that we're in. You got to be knowledgeable
exactly.
of the community and the environment
yes.
that you're in. If you need to change, because certain tools may not necessarily fit, then you change such that you can sustain what it is that you have benefited from going back in earlier times. So ULU
mm-hmm.
presents this because our foundation is the family. Our foundation is the family interacting in, with other members, other family members, all right, and then raising this and developing economic models that benefits us. Now, let me talk about these economic models. We have and we're putting together what we call the ULU-based collectives. The ULU-based collectives, for lack of a better word, for those who might be on the call, might not be familiar with that, you know, think of it as a cell, all right, a cell
mm-hmm.
in which you learn about the members of the cell. A cell is committed to bring together family members and community and members, families from different parts of the community, and interacting, all right, learning about the legacy and history, learning about your strengths, learning about what you have done to be successful. And then while you're learning about that, since the objective is to build an economic base and empowerment to the community, all right, the next thing you knew is to identify what would be considered those things which would be needed by the community from an economic and financial perspective. All right, mm-hmm. If it's not needed, you don't use it. You know, so it's not you trying to say, "Oh, I want to open up a store." It is mm-hmm. is the store needed? Okay, the store mm-hmm. has to be mm-hmm. needed. All right, if the store is needed, all right, what is needed to put the things together to make that store a success? And that is serve the community of which it's in. All right, and then you do what is necessary to do that. We don't say go to the bank, though.
Well,
we don't say go to the bank.
I can't take out a loan. I have
no. We say we don't. Yeah, we don't want you to. We don't want the bank or the good credit that you think you got. All right, we don't want any, because see, once you go to the bank, all right, you've already exposed yourself that you want to do
exactly.
something, and maybe I mm-hmm. maybe I need to pay attention to what you want, what you plan on doing. No,
exactly.
the people who's gonna finance, if it's feasible, mm-hmm. for this project that you concluded from your studies, from your interactions,
mm-hmm.
is needed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you find ways to commit the funds necessary, even if it mm-hmm. means, you know, you get everybody in the community to donate, and then you look at stages in which that process needs to undergo, all right, in order to make it successful, the venture that you have identified. So that's
mm-hmm.
all we want, all right? We want you to be able to do that. All right, we're not saying you're going to open up a Walmart. Walmart opening up right now might not be feasible, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
You land the bricks such that as you observe the community, as you observe the environment, you know when to open up that Walmart. So you
exactly.
open it up because you have to sustain it. You can only sustain
mm-hmm.
it as long as you know that you're not going to get interference from those forces, which may have a little bit more resource than you do in order to interrupt. You understand
right,
what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
All right. That's yeah. the UBCs. The UBCs. It's sort of like the what I'll call the think tank or intellectual arm to begin to bring in and identify those businesses which are needed and that will
mm-hmm.
provide the economic foundation for the community to survive. I'll
mm-hmm.
stop here in case you might have a question or two you might want to throw.
Well,
the foundation. Go ahead.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you were saying about finding out what the community needs and getting the community involved in the creation of this store, seems that it would be easier, well, maybe not easier, but it would be that the community feels an investment, feels a connection to what you're putting in, you know, what you bring, what the store you're bringing in or the business that you're bringing in. Because they had some input into it being, you know. So then if you ask me, what do we need, and I tell you what we need, and then, you know, we set about, and it's not just you doing it, it's us, it's the community. So, and I say, you know, I would like to see that. And then if we bring it about, then I'm more likely to want to patronize it, because in a sense it's mine. You know, I feel a connectedness to it. And I think that's something that we don't have right now. I mean, we go to stores, but, you know, if the store goes, if it's there today and gone tomorrow, we just go to another store. It's kind of like we don't even care what happened to the store, because it's, you know, it had nothing to do with us anyway. So I think this is a good way to strengthen the community just by the UBC asking people and helping, asking people for help, because people like helping, you know. So if they think that if the community knows It's not thinks. Because we, my understanding is the ten point plan and the, you know, the basic foundation philosophy of Ulu is that we want, you know, we want the people to feel that they matter, which is not something that we're generally used to when we go to the store. Yeah. So I think that you're suggesting, go ahead.
No, I wanted you to finish your thought. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, I was saying so I think that community involvement is very important for the success of the businesses or the cooperatives that Unity is thinking in terms of developing.
It's very important because you think of the community, like I said, the basic element, which is the family, and the family coming in contact with other family, all right, and members of those families, you know, forming, you know, accepting the philosophy, the doctrine, the model of Ulu, and say, yeah, remember now it's cooperative, co-op.
Right.
You know, we are cooperating, all right. We're not steeping competition, all right. It's not my idea,
right.
and we're going to see who sell that idea to the community first. No, it's the community. You know, you're not showing something on the community that's not going to benefit the community. It's what's needed in help in order to help the community identify what is necessary for their growth, their development,
exactly.
And then feeling part
exactly.
of it. As from what you just said, I got to feel included, and most importantly. Feeling included is feeling that I'm making a contribution. So we have the families coming together, members of the family buying into Ulu, forming UBCs, all right, and then falling and filling and building networks of UBCs, and then starting cooperative businesses, all right, all right, what we call secondary, all right. Because the key to our economic foundation is the businesses that currently do not exist. And let me just inform some of the members, because I try to keep abreast of, as best I can, of the information that impacts our community. Since the global plandemic has occurred a little over 1 year, we have lost over 50% of our black businesses.
Wow.
Now they were most of them were sole proprietors and partnership. They vanished. No, they didn't vanish.
Sure.
They didn't exist. They're out there on the lines trying to get help. Okay? 50%, all right, has vanished from that, and I think personally that was the intent. All right,
it disrupted
businesses on the African continent, okay, and they're trying to recuperate that. All right, well, they disrupted businesses because the African leadership bought and sold, all right, followed the dictates of the Europeans. All right, as a consequence of that, they had no business.
Yeah.
They didn't need to close anything. They just needed to keep.
And the cases
that happened were where they got infected with those. Europeans coming down to Africa on vacation. You know,
okay.
Africans ain't got no money to fly to Europe, fly to Asia, fly to the U.S.
Right.
They ain't got no money for that. Okay. It was the tourists coming down to feel warm. You know, you remember, because remember now, this is in December, you know, when these cases happen in Wuhan, all right?
Yeah.
This is in December,
right.
So it's not warm up in Europe. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that disruption we see taking place. So, but the African leadership, we're not looking for the African leadership for help. We're looking for the family. We're looking for the community.
Yes.
We're looking for members in the families, part of the communities, to join us, all right, to expand this foundation, to study our community. What are some of the things that we needed, particularly economically? We know that we have food deserts. How do we instill that? How do we connect? Because, see, we still have black farmers.
Exactly.
We don't have a transportation system to connect, all right, the vegetables that are harvested, all right, to the markets where they can be sold in the community. We're working on that, all right? When I say we're working on that, I know there are some groups that are working on that. So it's not like it doesn't, you know, the Europeans are not going to pick that up. And so that's good. We don't necessarily want them to pick that up. All right, so I guess in essence what I'm trying to say is those things that, according to Neely Fuller, that might be minor but still engage in people activity is one area that we need to look at. In addition to that, the European doesn't maintain control over those nine areas 100% of the time. So there's things that we can do, all right, within those other areas, all right, to build the economic cohesion that is needed in order to, all right, reconnect with our motherland activities there, to reconnect with our cousins, all right, who were transported to Brazil, to reconnect, you know, those who had to flee to Canada. I don't know why they went to Canada. It's cold. It's colder than some parts of Europe. But they went. But they went there. All right. All right. It's cold enough here in the U.S. where I am. So these are the things that Yulu's doing, and I think in time, as we develop this, the family, the community, all right, the skills necessary, the strategy necessary in order to bring us together, we end up creating the machinery that is necessary to launch us, all right, into the future, all right, and create the wealth that is necessary, all right, so that we can become the premier, all right, businesses and institutions, and lay a sovereign and economic sovereignty for our people, in which case we wouldn't have to worry about any invasion of any sort, because we have it, and we got a 1.3 billion people on the continent. We got 40 million here. We got 100 million people in Brazil. We got another 50 million people. You got a couple million in Canada. And haven't even talked about the Pacific Islanders yet. All right, we got some people, and interestingly, and for those on the call who might not know, we have contacts and members in a lot of those places that I just named. So, sister, I see that we're running out of time. I don't want to keep you. I know that you have other things to do, but it's been my pleasure, and I really appreciate the conversation that we've had. I'm sorry that our listeners didn't chime in on that, but maybe next time. But this is an important subject. How do we sustain ourselves? What is necessary to sustain ourselves? What is the plan? And we can do it. We can prove Neely Fuller wrong.
Absolutely. Don't sell us short. So if you're not a member of ULU and you would like to join, please go to the website, usliftingus.com, and all the information that you need will be right there. And if you are a member of ULU, we would like for you to sign into the ULU community and go to the Dare to Win group and leave your suggestions and comments for tonight's program. This has been Dare to Win. We will be back next Thursday night, and we thank you for the time you spent with us. Peace.
Taller I become, the farther you take my rights away, the faster I will run. You can deny me, you can decide to turn your face away. No matter, 'cause there's something inside so strong. I know that I can make it, though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone. Doing me wrong, so wrong. You know that my pride.